Well, thank you. It's just like that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. And I represent ARS, Grazing Land Research Lab, based in El Reno, Oklahoma. So I'll be speaking about the evaluation of downscaled daily precipitation data for its suitability in the context of field scale hydrologic application. And I also like to acknowledge my co-author, Jürgen Garbrick, who is not here today. So overall, I'll be giving a brief overview of climate models used. Then we'll discuss downscale data products, objective of this work, and climate evaluation metrics used to assess the precipitation data sets, and conclusion. And this work has been recently published in the Journal of Hydrologic Engineering. So before I talk about my talk, I want to provide a brief overview by telling a very short story. So in 1776, Jonathan Swift, a British scholar, wrote Gulliver's Travels. In one of his sequels, Voyage of Brobdingnag, Gulliver finds himself stranded in an island of giants, and everything's huge, and everything's big, and Gulliver is very small. Everything's literally magnified by a factor of 12. So in the beginning, Gulliver is really impressed with how big and powerful everything is. But when he looks at things up close, like in the second figure, he is rather disgusted by giant perforations of human skin, or a giant hair sprouting out from mouth. So in the same way, the anatomy of GCMs is not that good when we look at it up close. So at continental scales, regional scales, they do a good job, but to find out what's happening in our backyard, it is not suitable. But what do we do to correct for this limitation? We have a process called downscaling. It can be either dynamic downscaling or statistical downscaling. So the statistical downscaling identifies predictor and predictant relations between large-scale model grids to station observations and factors in vegetation hydrology. And these global climate model grids are typically 2.5 or 3 degrees, and a degree in the equator is about 100 kilometers for your reference. So the dynamic downscaling is regional climate modeling, and it's often nested within a climate model, within a global climate model and its boundary conditions. And this is an example relevant to Seattle, and this is with the courtesy of Andrew Wood from NCAR. Now, in CMIP-5 data portal is a very readily available state-of-art data portal. There's contributions from 24 models, and there's over 234 projections. And BCCA, bias-corrected constructed analogs, and BCSD, bias-corrected spatial disaggregation, are two popular methods which have downscaled data at daily and monthly time step. And this is put together by USGS, Bureau of Reclamation, and a host of institutions. And it's very easy to define a longitude and a latitude and obtain the data set. And the finest resolution that is available is 1/8 of a degree. That's roughly 12 kilometers. Or a rectangle can be defined, and also a temporal time period can be defined for the extraction data. So with this is just an example that's relevant to the Ames location that I have used. And the red you can see is an ensemble of hindcast precipitation data. That's 1961 to 1999. And the green and the blue are corresponding future time series, which represent an ensemble of 2046 to 2065 and 2081 to 20 2100. So this is an example of mean monthly daily temperature, minimum temperature, maximum temperature, and monthly precipitation. And the legends are the same. So the point that I want to make in this slide is the blue line, which is observed data, is overlapped by the red line. So that means it's a good or decent downscaling. And prior versions of the downscale data required additional bias correction, but over time, this has been corrected by BCCA providers. So the data used was in hindcast mode, and we looked at 1961 to 1999 time period for BCCA precipitation hindcast, gridded data, that is, that was used to downscale the hindcast data, and the observation at a co-op weather station. And this is in the context of replicating rainfall sequencing, and this was defined by using transition probabilities, and transition probability basically is a probability of a wet day following a dry day, and this is defined monthly with the number of wet days followed by dry days in the numerator and the number of dry days followed by dry days and number of wet days followed by dry days on the denominator. And this is the metric that was used to evaluate the data set. And alternately, a synthetic weather generator was also used, which would eventually capture the precipitation sequencing, which was not adequately done in the state of art downscale data set that we have from the CMIP-5 portal. So we used three global climate models, then downscaled product that we used that was derived from the portal, and compared that with the SINTOR, which is the synthetic weather generator that's in-house at USDA ARS, and looked at how rainfall sequencing is captured. And the idea of SINTOR, which is the synthetic weather generator, is based on a random number generation. So we've got a probability of wet day following by a dry day, and the probability goes from 0 to 1. In this example, I'm showing a PWD of 0.25, so we have a probability which is which could be an outcome A, B, C, or D. And based on that, probability of exceedance is defined, and then it's correspondingly plotted to match the distribution of daily precipitation data. So this random generator generates this, and it actually captures rainfall sequencing because it is defined using the transition probability metric that I just mentioned. And this was done for three ARS locations: Walnut Creek in Iowa, El Reno in Oklahoma, and Moorhead, Mississippi, in Mississippi. So the objective, again, I've already mentioned this, was to review the BCCA daily precipitation hindcast to look at its ability to replicate wet day following dry day and dry day following wet day sequences of the locally observed precipitation, and to demonstrate statistical downscaling based on synthetic weather generator to better replicate the rainfall sequencing. So this is one metric that was used. As you can see, the black line, which is the observed local precipitation at a monthly time scale, all of these data look similar. And now when we look at number of rainy days per month, there is less rainy days in the observed sequence and a lot of rainy days in the downscale data. And this is because the numerical downscaling approach induces very small rainfall events, which is not practical. For example, 0.01 millimeters, which is below the threshold of a tipping bucket measurement. So this is called the drizzle effect, and there's a lot of drizzle effect seen in the BCCA data set. And consequently, number of rainy days per month goes up for the BCCA data set, and then what is actually observed. And the third and the fourth metric that was used was average total monthly rainfall amount per year and the average number of dry and wet days per year. Similarly, this is also evaluated in terms of transition probability of a wet day following a dry day or a wet day, and in that sequence. And the final assessment was in terms of number of rainy days in a row or the rainy day cluster distribution. So with this work and with the use of the synthetic weather generator, it was found that the synthetic weather generator represented the observation at the observed at the co-op station more closely than the downscaled or the gridded precipitation data set that is available. So in conclusion, BCCA daily precipitation hindcast display 1, a large number of rainfall days, a smaller rainfall amount on rainy days, a high clustering of consecutive rainy days, and a high transition probability of a wet day following a wet day or dry day. And these shortcomings impact field scale hydrologic investigation, which leads to higher infiltration rates and lower surface runoff volumes. And given these shortcomings, it is advised that the end users who use this data for rainfall or crop modeling be more judicious in the use of this data set. So again, alternately, with the weather generator based SINTOR adequately reproduce precipitation patterns, and this is an important application of field scale hydrologic application. Thank you.